Happy Was the Day, a Pride and Prejudice sequel. Chapter 2. The Bennet carriage drove to Meryton, with Mrs. Bennet on one bench, and Jane and Elizabeth upon the other. To arrive on time at the modiste, the morning walk with Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley had been conducted before the normal hours for a call, by design. The annual autumn assembly was scarcely 3 weeks from when Jane accepted Mr. Bingley's offer of marriage, and Mrs. Bennet made the appointment straight away with the lone mantua maker in their small hamlet, Mrs. Camille Sitchwort. Mrs. Sitchwort offered misery and misanthropy in each visit, though Jane never joined Elizabeth in her harshest critique of the woman.
"I do not see why you wish to come. You despise shopping for gowns," Mrs. Bennet complained, glaring at her second daughter.
Before Elizabeth could defend herself, Jane explained once again how she hated all of the attention to be upon herself. "Please, Mama, I wanted Lizzie to come with me. She always offers such practical solutions," Jane said, turning to her sister to bestow approval.
"And I so dislike when all of the attention is on me. Mayhaps Lizzie can be fitted for a new gown?"
"But Jane, sweet Jane, this is your moment to shine. Your marriage to Mr. Bingley shall be a highlight spoken for generations. There will be no match to meet it," Mrs. Bennet exclaimed, as both of her daughters blanched. Mrs. Bennet continued to lecture Jane, more gently than she had ever censured Elizabeth, about her boldness, about the importance of setting aside her shyness. Elizabeth ignored the hypocrisy of her mother and gazed out the carriage window pane. The annual assembly would be held next week, and she suddenly felt a stab of vanity that she would not have a new frock for the occasion.
Jane meant well, but if it was up to only their mother, Elizabeth would wear her gowns right up to discarding to the rag pile.
Thankfully, Elizabeth visited her father after her stroll with Mr. Darcy, where he commented on the improved color in her cheeks, relating how she wished to support Jane and mentioning the gown she wore last year had already been turned. Her father offered her a small amount of pin money. Now all she had to do was flatter Mrs. Sitchwort, a woman she never could humor, and her new aim to surprise Mr. Darcy with a fresh gown at the assembly would be a success. Twice widowed, rumors swirled that Mrs. Sitchwort's second husband was not dead, but merely abandoned Camille after catching her in an amorous embrace with another man. Even if Mrs. Sitchwort had been the kindest dressmaker in all of England, her predecessor, Mrs. Long, had been so well-loved, the community of Meryton would have struggled to accept even a pitiable widow. For a woman to claim the status twice over raised eyebrows. As it was, no one allowed their husbands to be measured alone with Mrs. Sitchwort,
though the village lacked a proper tailor as well, since the loss of the Longs. When the militia had been stationed in the town, Elizabeth noticed one or two officers were always in her shop, their uniforms ever in need of alterations.
"I am here to support Jane and see to my own purchase," Elizabeth announced, sensing that her mother had lost steam in her chastisement. When she reached complaints about Lady Lucas and Charlotte's wedding to their cousin the year prior.
"Your purchase? What's this? I am the keeper of the accounts. All funds must go to support Jane."
Her mother glared at her disloyal daughter, extending a hand as though Elizabeth would place the funds her father gave to her in her mother's palm. But Elizabeth shook her head.
"Mama, please do not trouble Lizzie over her new gown. She's not had a single new frock since the spring," Jane said gently, riling her mother even more.
"And where do your gowns go,
Lizzie enjoys a healthy supply of new trimmings, and your aunt and uncle do spoil her."
Mrs. Bennet bristled at the accusation she had mistreated her daughter as the carriage came to a stop. She huffed in exasperation, as she often did when Jane and Lizzie outnumbered her in logic and sense. After Mrs. Bennet stepped down from the carriage, Jane paused in her precedence over Lizzie.
"When will you tell her and Papa, if she knew?" Jane whispered.
"Tonight, after dinner, Mr. Darcy will take an audience with Father."
The two Bennet girls stepped into the late autumn sunshine, and a few passers-by paused to see if any other Bennet sisters were to exit the carriage. Spying none, and therefore seeing no additional opportunity for sales at the sweet shop or milliner, the bustling activity of the small hamlet continued.
"Jane," Elizabeth called after her sister, as she hurried to stand next to their mother inside the shop.
Elizabeth took a deep breath and held it, attempting to prevent inhaling the odious smell that would confront her inside. A stench of body odor, tobacco smoke, and a heavy perfume scented with orange oil made the contents of Elizabeth's luncheon turn somersaults in her stomach.
Mrs. Sitchwort sat upon a stool near bolts of fabric, smoking a carved clay pipe. The bowl her calloused fingers clasped held an unmistakable red glow and boasted a small cherub carving where the bowl and stem met. She greeted Mrs. Bennet and congratulated Jane. When she spied Elizabeth, she merely nodded and blew a few smoke rings. No one said a word as Elizabeth stood there, waiting for some kind of acknowledgement. When there was nothing further, she spoke up for herself. "I'm certain you won't find displeasure in an additional commission. I, too, should like a new gown." The only person Elizabeth disliked more than Mrs. Sitchwort was her assistant, a young woman called Angelina. Usually Elizabeth would never look to find fault with a shopgirl beyond that which was necessary to make a purchase. But the young woman had a nasty habit of pricking Elizabeth with pins in each fitting, far more often than her sisters reported. Elizabeth also learned by questioning Kitty after Lydia's elopement with Mr. Wickham that they spent an inappropriate amount of time in Mrs. Sitchwort's shop with none other than Angelina in attendance. Jane learned the same, as the sisters gave Kitty a more thorough interrogation than either of their parents. But Jane did not fault the assistant. Women of lower class could always hope for a rise in their station from that rare officer who needed not an heiress's fortune, but only to fall in love with a warm bed. "Who shall I fit first, the blushing bride or the sister?" Mrs. Sitchwort asked her main benefactress, Mrs. Bennet. Elizabeth coughed as the smoky air began to irritate her lungs. Bennet frowned. Never one to be accused of being the great wit, she was still a woman able to manipulate circumstances to her preference, and she preferred the time alone with Jane, without Elizabeth's meddlesome ways. "Oh, do fit Lizzie first, then she can run along to the bookstore as it may please her," Mrs. Bennet said dismissively, making it very clear which daughter she favored. A worn, three-legged stool was lifted from the back and brought directly to the center of the room, and placed in front of the three bay windows that looked out to the street front. Elizabeth avoided stepping up on the stool, a humiliation that infuriated her, as Jane never had to raise herself the 6 inches. But as Jane and Lydia had inherited their father's height, Elizabeth and Mary had not. Kitty enjoyed being a height between the two sets of sisters, often claiming a pretty frock from Jane or Lydia before it was hemmed higher and passed to Elizabeth or Mary. "I should like that white voile with the lavender flowers," Elizabeth said, imagining herself a vision in white, with lilac accents in her hair and shoe flowers. Her base gown could be lavender, with the gorgeous voile used for the overdress. "That fabric is set aside for Jane's trousseau," Mrs. Bennet pronounced. Elizabeth turned and gawked at her mother's further favoritism, but she received no support from Jane. Instead, her elder sister sat serenely, playing the peacekeeper. But Elizabeth was not fooled either. If Jane did not also prefer the fabric, she would have spoken as much. Love for her sister pushed her selfish wants aside, and Elizabeth selected a different white voile, a simpler one with elegant lines of silk woven into the weft. "I'm afraid that is all sold out. The assembly is just a week away. You ladies have waited much too late for your selections. The peach is spoken for, as is this fresh lemon," Mrs. Sitchwort explained, as Elizabeth pointed to additional colors that matched her complexion. Known for her dark eyes and equally dark hair, many of the colors that flattered Jane disagreed with Elizabeth's sun-kissed complexion. All of the whites and pale colors were spoken for, and only one decent fabric remained. The color, a dull hunter green silk, was clearly all she would be offered, but Elizabeth did not dare request it. Instead, she looked Mrs. Sitchwort dead in the eye and asked her directly, "Pray, what fabrics are left that I may select from, that my sister or others do not claim?" The simpering assistant, Angelina, walked to the back at her employer's nod. "Surely you can understand we must reserve the better fabrics for your sister's trousseau. It is a moment all young women hope to only have happen once in their lifetime." Mrs. Sitchwort stalled, inhaling a long draft off her pipe and emphasizing her claim that she had been married twice. "When you are set to walk down the church aisle, we shall find appropriate fabrics for you as well." Mrs. Bennet snorted. "Lizzie, married? No, she has spurned one offer, and made quite clear her intentions to remain a spinster." Mrs. Bennet lobbed her criticism at her daughter. It was public knowledge in the village now that Elizabeth had shunned Mr. Collins before he offered for Charlotte, an intelligence Elizabeth had wished remained private for her friend Charlotte's sake. But Mrs. Bennet held a grudge over Elizabeth's rejection of Mr. Collins and the inheritance of Longbourn by proxy,
even though Jane's match with Mr. Bingley would most assuredly protect them from falling into poverty after her father's demise.
"Mama," Jane gently scolded, as she looked to Elizabeth quickly to offer her support.
Only the sisters knew that Elizabeth was indeed betrothed to Mr. Darcy, a man worth 10 times that of Mr. Bingley, in both annual income and property holdings.
"I'm certain that my sister will find happiness as I have." Jane smiled, and Elizabeth pressed her lips tightly closed.
Obediently, Elizabeth stood upon the stool. Just as she had predicted, the assistant brought forward the dark hunter green fabric, and Elizabeth had an idea. Her happiest shopping moments had always been with her Aunt Gardner in London. Madeline Gardner was ever the shrewd woman to make a deal. Both Elizabeth and Jane had observed this many times.
"I recall this fabric being here last year," Elizabeth said, and Mrs. Sitchwort pulled out the pipe from her mouth.
"I believe you are mistaken, though it is a popular color."
Elizabeth slanted her eyes. "I've not seen this color featured in a fashion plate in 2 years," she remarked, with laughter in her voice. "On second thought, perhaps I shall not purchase a gown and go next door for supplies to retrim one of my older ones."
She stepped off the stool to the shock of her sister and mother.
Mrs. Sitchwort began to speak quickly, as in a small hamlet like Meryton she could not afford to lose any commission, even if the client was not to her liking.
"Forgive my poor memory. I do believe you are correct, but the shade would be ever so lovely against your skin and in the candlelight."
Mrs. Sitchwort unpinned a swatch of the cloth tacked to the bolt and held it up against Elizabeth's cheekbone. "I cannot be sure. Perhaps if the fabric could be discounted, since it is, as you say, from last season, I shall have enough left over to accessorize it properly."
Elizabeth then waited, a skill her aunt also taught her. In every negotiation, whoever spoke first lost.
"Lizzie, why are you so difficult?" Mrs. Bennet argued, and Mrs. Sitchwort looked to the mother, but no further support came. Not even Mrs. Bennet was above saving money. The proprietress turned back to her most troublesome client, seeing if she would budge. But Elizabeth shook her head.
"My father gave the funds to me. I'm afraid I'm wasting my time," Elizabeth said, and Mrs. Sitchwort emptied the contents of her pipe into the dustbin.
"I can complete your gown for 3/4 of what I normally charge," she began,
"and it is still delivered before the assembly next week," Elizabeth added, and Mrs. Sitchwort scowled.
"Yes, now hurry back to the stool, or we shall never finish all of these orders in time," Mrs. Sitchwort said, picking up her pincushion that gleamed in the sunlight spilling from the windows in the front of the shop. Elizabeth sighed and submitted to her punishment, but as both women spared her not a prick, Elizabeth smiled, and she felt as though she had won the day. With the money she had saved on the fabric choice, she would indeed go next door and select gold ribbons for both her hair and belt and wear her grandmother's golden cross. Then she would seem to glow in the candlelight as she imagined what she might wear, walking to Mr. Darcy to dance their first dance, betrothed to one another. Distracted by her thoughts, she turned her head sharply as Jane rejected one of the gown designs their mother pointed out. "I believe Miss Bingley has a frock of a similar cut and color, and she is to return this afternoon," Elizabeth snapped. "I did not know that Miss Bingley was returning. Ow!" She glared at the assistant Angelina as she caught a sensitive spot on Elizabeth's hip with the pin.
"I beg your pardon, ma'am, but you moved," the assistant explained, and Elizabeth took a deep breath and exhaled it to keep her temper.
"How lovely that Mr. Bingley's sister is to return. Perhaps she will keep that drab Mr. Darcy occupied so you can be spared, Lizzie."
Elizabeth physically bit down on her tongue as another pin caught her arm, and tears welled up in her eyes. She wished to scream and shout that Mr. Darcy loved her best. There would be no time to humor Miss Bingley. But she could not speak before he went to her father. Their courtship had been a strange one, and the interview with Mr. Bennet was one request Mr. Darcy had made that she would not ruin. Elizabeth found her humor when she realized how her life resembled a great comedy of errors, where her mother could not bait her further than if she had known of Mr. Darcy's feelings. That her torture was from ignorance and small bits of sharpened steel, Elizabeth chuckled, and comforted herself with a promise of relating her experience later to him.
Remaining fixed on thinking about her Mr. Darcy, in less than 1/4 hour, her fitting was complete.
Elizabeth stepped down from the position of embarrassing attention. She hated that the shop always did such fittings in the window, where perhaps the lighting was best,
but so was the ability of those to walk by and see inside. The location was likely a shrewd business move as well, for one lady fitted for a gown naturally rose some level of envy that likely encouraged other appointments. Elizabeth barely waved her sister and mother adieu before settling her bill with Mrs. Sitchwort. She left Jane and all of her superior fabric selections to browse the milliner next door, taking a swatch of the unwanted hunter green heavy cotton with her. To her unbridled surprise, Mary and Kitty were in the shop, perusing the ribbons for the same purpose, though they would not have new gowns made. Elizabeth suddenly felt slightly guilty that she had gone to their father and received favor where they had not, and wondered if Jane struggled the same with their mother's regard. "Kitty, if you help me find a golden ribbon to match this, I shall pay for your choices. And you too, Mary," Elizabeth offered, feeling better to share the good fortune than to keep it all to herself. Mary hesitated on the offer. "What shall I owe you if Kitty is to offer you service and I am not?" Elizabeth laughed nervously, realizing that accepting Mr. Darcy meant she too would soon leave not just Jane and her father, but her two unmarried sisters as well. She laughed so she did not risk sadness. "Only allow me to walk with you home. I fear Mama and Jane shall be long at Mrs. Sitchwort's, and I do not wish to go back to sit and wait." Kitty wrinkled her nose. She also suffered a sensitivity to smoke like Lizzie. "The pipe?" Lizzie nodded. "Are we agreed we shall all walk home together?" Elizabeth asked. Mary shook her head in defiance. "If I do not need to pay for my ribbons, then first we must stop at Mr. Acre's across the way," she said with a conspiratorial smile. Elizabeth consented to the plan, as confections lifted any lady's mood, and the long walk back to Longbourn dispelled any lingering disappointments she felt from her time with Jane and their mother.